So I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but some of the best, most interesting work in computer software technology and in human-machine interface technology is taking place at Georgia Tech, at the Sonification Lab and other computer and high-tech labs at Georgia Tech University down in the Atlanta area. Bruce Walker joins us now. Bruce, thanks for being a part of the program.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Now, I wanted to bring you on the show because I want you to listen to this and tell me what's going on here.
Well, certainly, as anyone can plainly hear, this is a sonification of a fish in an aquarium.
Now, I can't see an aquarium, all right? So in a sense, I'm just like the blind people you composed this for. How did you make this music, and what is its purpose?
Well, this project is the Accessible Aquarium Project, and it's really a collaborative effort based on the idea that most dynamic exhibits in a zoo or an aquarium is really inaccessible to people who can't see it. And in fact, it's the very dynamics that makes these exhibits interesting and makes us want to come back that also makes it difficult to communicate to someone who's blind or has a vision impairment. So we basically track the fish and then convert their movements into a variety of different styles of music in an effort to provide blind people with something when they go to an aquarium.
All right, let's just talk for a second about the hardware, because I'm such a gadget geek. You've got some sort of camera that's like actually watching the fish in the tank. You capture the motion. You plot the trajectories and come up with some sort of algorithm to make sounds associated with each blob that's moving.
Exactly. We start with a very simple...
Exactly. You can't say exactly. There's no possible way that's exactly right.
Well, I guess it's looking behind the curtain here, but it's fairly simple and straightforward in its core. There is a camera or multiple cameras that watch the fish in the fish tank and figure out where the different fish are, which it identifies the fish by color and shape and size, follows their movement, and then once we know where the different fish are, we convert those movement paths into music in a variety of ways.
So the music that we're hearing represents many fish or different schools of fish or a fish?
Indeed. Well, we'll start with one fish, and we might, for example, have a fish represented by the sound of a trumpet. As that fish moves to the left of the tank, the trumpet sound would move to your left ear or the left speaker. As the fish moves to the right, then the trumpet follows it to the right side of the stereo space. As the fish goes up or down, we change the pitch of the trumpet up or down in the musical scale.
What if it's a big shark?
Say again?
What if it's a big shark?
If it's a big shark, then it's going to be a big instrument like a cello or a bass, whereas a jellyfish would be maybe a piccolo or a flute.
Jellyfish is a piccolo
so
or a flute.
Interesting.
So what are these here?
I believe those are the sounds of yellow tangs. They're a medium-sized fish, and they're not moving very quickly. If you threw some fish food into that tank, the fish would certainly speed up, chasing the food around. In fact, those may be the sounds of ants.
Yes.
Ants wandering around.
So you can actually use this technique to simulate or create a musical soundtrack for the motion of all kinds of creatures.
We can indeed. We can anything that moves, we can track, whether it's ants or fish or birds or people.
Now,
and then we can convert that into some kind of appropriate music.
Now, Bruce, it seems like the big advantage you have here is that everybody knows when they go to a museum, it's much more than just the visual. There's a whole sense of scale and depth and being in a place that makes great museums and great exhibits work. But I'm wondering if when blind people have used your device and used your sonification, if they say, oh, this is great, this is an aquarium, or if they just say, you know, I'd actually prefer to just have my mother explain it to me, what's going on in the tank.
All of the experiences that we've had, all of the feedback that we've had so far has been very positive. One of the things we're relying a lot on is the fact that music can be such an emotional experience as well. Standing in front of a 60-foot wall of glass and watching a whale shark cruise by is an emotional experience and not just visual. So we're trying to make sure that we convey the emotion as well as the dynamics. And by choosing the right kinds of music, we can really be effective for the blind people. And they get it, they like it, and they want more of it.
And sighted people can appreciate this as well.
Indeed, we take a universal design approach so that everything we do is not unique or specific to people who can't see the exhibit. What we do is going to enhance the experience for everyone.
So I'm closing my eyes now. Is Nemo in there? Is there a clownfish in there?
I think you're hearing some wrasses and maybe some medium-sized fish. If we hear a dom, 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 then you can tell the whale shark's coming by.
Yeah, I think John Williams owns the rights to that particular theme. Well, this is great. And where's
this great project.
Where's it going to be tried first?
We have a live fish tank that's being tracked and producing music all the time in our labs, and we're working with local aquariums to get it installed and tested in a bigger scale.
All right. Well, Bruce Walker, thanks so much for being a part of the program, and happy holidays to you.
My pleasure.
You got a song that you love? Christmas song?
Oh, I'm going old school. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm a Canadian boy down here in Georgia.
All right, Bruce Walker, Associate Professor of Psychology and Computing with the Sonification Lab at Georgia Tech. Thanks so much, Bruce.
All right, bye-bye.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.